G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling on 590 WVOK and 97.3 FM. My name is Max Gabby. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lyle, and we've got a great show for you. Don't let the rain bog you down. We're going to brighten up your day because the Cats won. You're going to a bowl game. Benny Snell's going to, even though he did declare for the draft, he's going to play in the Citrus Bowl because he's got unfinished business. We'll give you our bowl picks from what we saw on the games on Saturday. Women's basketball, Middle Tennessee State recap. And of course, we're going to talk about the men's basketball game. The Tweak 2.0. It worked, we hope. And we'll talk about the 1993 team as well. We'll also give our players of the game, offense, defense, and bench player. And what's BBN Chalk Talk without talking about some food? Thanksgiving versus Christmas dinner, and then the fattest thing I did this week.
Since we didn't do it last Thursday because you were elsewhere.
Yeah, doing some mob things.
Our Friday podcast.
You still could have done it.
No, because then we would have had to listen to you complain this whole week that you didn't get to do it last week.
I've never complained about the food
and
segment.
And we really wanted Ashley back on the show.
Time out. You've never complained about the food segment? You argued with me all last week about when we did the food segment.
That's because you're wrong. Like, I don't understand. It's like looking into the future that this is the effects of bashing my head in for so long. This is what it looks like. And it's eerie to me. It's a little morbid. It's not me arguing with me. It's me just trying to help you. Think of it as a psychotherapy for
you. What show did you miss? The last one of last week? Is that the one you missed? And that's the one we do food talk on. So we didn't do it because that's the day you missed.
No. Anyway.
And Lee's my
Benny Snell declared for the Benny Smell declared for the
Smelly?
Declared for the draft. And puts out this video, but yet he's gonna come back and play in the Citrus Bowl because he has unfinished business. And I think it's really good and kind of breaking it down in my own head, thinking, is there any benefit of him coming back? And in my head, I don't see anything that's going to increase his draft status or something that we have not seen, with the exception of that initial burst that we think he was lacking. But then if he and even though he's declared for the draft, I don't see him going any higher regardless. So he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place when it comes to where he'll get drafted. But, I mean, what's your all's thoughts?
Yeah, I was kind of like on the fence. I wouldn't have been shocked if he came back for a couple of reasons. One, because he has unfinished business, like he said, and there's still a lot of things out there. And I think there's a lot of things he would want to prove. On the other side is he's one bad cut, one hit away from ending his career pretty much. So I think if he came back in an NFL mind, 16 weeks long, we're in a 12-week season. We saw how he faded rather quickly after the first few weeks. If he came back, he could show his durability to go the full 12, which would help, in my mind, would help his draft status. Right now, that could be a question mark coming out.
Yeah, I think he gave a lot of the fans the false hope of when he said, you know, I have goals and I have things that I want to do. I know when I get to the NFL that I will last a long time. That doesn't bother me. I think that was the false hope that he gave. But I think after probably some conversations with some people about an NFL season is basically a season and a half of what you would have gone through in college. Look what happened this year. You're going to take your chances, put yourself through another full season of college football, and then try to make it, you know, X amount of years in the NFL. I don't blame him for his decision. I guess without that little false glimmer of hope that he was going to come back, the only thing that it would do is make the fans happy. Like you said, Max, I couldn't see himself really helping out himself all that much as far as draft status or where he could go. And because he's the kind of back, like we just mentioned, he's not the speed back that's like the burst of guy that's going to break away from everybody. He's the power back. And when you're a power back in the NFL, you're a workhorse. And they're going to use you a lot in the NFL. And that's just going to make even more toll on your body and the longevity that you last. So I think smart decision by him. I love that he's coming back to play in the bowl game. I'm glad that he has unfinished business with the rest of these guys. I think this is why, you know, we've talked about before, all these guys came back for their senior season. Granted, Benny wasn't one of those, but I think he sees as a team collectively, if Josh Allen is doing it, a guy that has a lot to lose, if he's a guy that's coming back for this, then why not just go out there and play one more time for BBN and for these brothers that they have on this team here, and everybody's going to go their separate ways and make a lot of money.
And can we do something as fans? Can we stop investing so much into what kids say? Can we just stop? My gosh. Benny Snell says, I've got goals. And if you took that as, he's definitely going to come back next year, go ahead, get the season tickets ready, go ahead and get another Benny Snell jersey because he's coming back, that is foolish. Because I could have told you, even after hearing that, I still went, nah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's the same people. It's the exact same people when J.J. Weaver said, well, it's a business decision. I'm going to look. Everyone lost their mind over it. It said, no, he can't do that. He can't do that. He committed.
He can do whatever he wants till he writes his name on that piece of paper.
Well, and now look at him. Like, he said that, fans freaked out, and then they started freaking out more because he said he wasn't going to sign in the early period, but now he's saying he is. It's like he's changing his mind left and right all over the place.
How can you trust the kid?
Let's just let him sign, and then we'll worry about it.
Man, but what a crowd last night. The biggest crowd this year for a men's basketball game.
Yep.
And then they brought out all of the SEC players.
Yep.
They brought out Cash and CJ with the trophy.
And Terry.
And then Terry came out with them as well. Stoops came out.
Yep.
And the way that crowd went. And then Josh got to be the Y.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let all the recruits walk down the aisle and out the tunnel.
Yep. And I saw a video that they all had met Coach Cal down in the tunnel as well. And there was some tweets going out from some of these guys that were here being recruited that were like, I just fell in love with Kentucky today. So they did it right.
That was a great atmosphere. They're great recruiting weekend.
So whether you knew it or not, kudos to the fans that were out there and cheering and going crazy for football and for the basketball game.
Because Wednesday signing period. We locked up all but one last year on.
Right. Early. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
So which that's going to bring in a lot of information for us. It's going to be a busy week for us.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But no, with Benny Snell, and Benny Snell, I think, is going to be – I honestly think he's going to be one of those career backs. I think he has the potential to be that career back, especially if he can show that he's got that burst.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will Benny Snell ever be a starter in the NFL? I have no idea. If it were me, just think from a business standpoint, I would almost not want to be. I want to be one of those guys that just hangs around.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a Gary Williams who played offensive line at UK. Never really started, but was just like a six-man, a guy that rotated in and just lasted. I mean, shoot, man, how long was he in the league?
He was there for a long time. I know, you know, he dealt with a lot of injuries, so that was kind of part of it for him. But he was a guy that lasted for a long time with the Panthers.
Or,
he was with them forever.
Or like a Corey Peters.
Yeah.
A Corey Peters, a Jacob Tammy. Just a guy that was never a starter but a huge contributor. You could even look at almost like an Eddie Lacy. If you're talking about workhorses,
mm-hmm.
Eddie Lacy is a prime example.
Well, there's very few teams right now that have that one back and that's all they rely on. I mean, you look at – like the New Orleans Saints are one of the great examples of it. They're a team that's top in the NFL right now. They've got two great running backs, but they figure out a way to make it work. And so there's going to be other guys that are going to be with him. He won't be the lone back regardless of where he goes, but he'll be in heavy rotation somewhere. Whether he's named a starter or not, he's going to get plenty of playing time. That's only going to help him last longer.
And that was going to be my third thing in the whole decision for Benny is you got to look at what's coming out this year versus what's coming out next year. What are teams' needs going to be versus, you know, mm-hmm. each year? Because it's not – when you get to the NFL, it's not like colleges anymore where if you're a stud, you're expected to contribute right away. In the NFL, they know you've got to cure a couple years. You've got to spend a couple years mm-hmm. in the league to learn the speed of that game, to condition your body to play the 16 weeks and everything else. So it's not necessarily do we going to see Benny do what Benny does next fall on an NFL field. It's let's look see what happens 3 years down the road.
Right.
And here's the other great thing. When we – everybody knows, and I'm sure the scouts know this as well, that you know, the burst of speed is probably the one kind of – not even a red flag, but just the one negative mark against mm-hmm. him is that he doesn't seem to have that burst of speed like you would like. But the great thing about the NFL is with all the money flying around and the agents that are going to be with him, they're going to get him plenty of one-on-one training with some guys that's all they do is probably work on burst of speed. And he will very quickly hopefully get to that point.
The all-SEC guys that were announced last night, the three of them that we know will be drafted. Now, well, let's talk about CJ being on the floor, too. He won an all-SEC guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was probably 20 to 30 million in signing bonuses on that floor last night that was introduced.
That was a lot of money.
Just to sign the contract. I'm not talking about their contract. Yeah. I'm like to sign their name to a contract.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of money.
Yes.
So basically signing your name, and then as soon as you sign it, say, check, I quit.
Please.
Yeah.
Check, please.
I quit, and you still pay me.
Yeah.
That's not a bad deal. But, so we had the bowl start yesterday, and it doesn't matter to me. Like, everyone talks about how there's too many bowl games. It's saturating the market. Nah, shut up, man. Shut up. It's football. It's a lot of stuff. So now you're saying I get a double dip with the Division II championships with Valdosta State, and I forgot who they were playing against, which that was a good game. But
when Mary Hart and Baylor?
No, it started with an F.
I don't know.
It had a bulldog. But before we get into women's basketball, we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about the bowl picks. But go ahead and text us in on the text line, 859-253-5959. How would you respond if Patino came back yesterday after Calipari's remarks? So, what was our games yesterday?
I'll read them off. So, first up, we had the Auto Nation Cure Bowl, the Louisiana Raging Cajuns versus the Tulane Green Wave, and all three of us were wrong. All three of us picked the 7-6 Raging Cajuns, but the 6-6 Tulane Green Wave destroyed the Raging Cajuns.
When the heck did Tulane decide to start playing football? Yeah. Like, where did that come from? Are you kidding me?
Next up, we had the New Mexico Bowl, the Utah State Aggies versus the North Texas Mean Green, and Matt Smith is the only one that picked that one correctly, and I think Max and I, we talked earlier, we both let, he has some people he knows on staff, and then plus I saw the word Texas and just picked it, so that kind of screwed our picks there.
Yeah, that was bad. That was Utah State won that 52-13.
The next up is the Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl against Arizona State Sun Devils, coached by Herm Edwards, and the number 21 Fresno State Bulldogs. I did go with the old man.
I went with Hermie, and
I was a couple touchdowns short.
Yep.
But Max and Matt both picked the Bulldogs. And then we have the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. I guess that's a flower of some kind. I have no idea. I'm shocked that Max, you didn't just send in your pick as the Eagles, since it was the Eastern Michigan Eagles versus the Georgia Southern Eagles, because we know how you like to smoke and carbs and pick the real vague.
Eagles.
We'll have touchdowns.
Eagles will win.
There'll be a touchdown in the game. That's my bold pick for this week. And you actually, Matt, you did go with Eastern Michigan.
I did.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was Georgia Southern that pulled that game out. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Against Middle Tennessee State and Appalachian State, and we all three picked that one correctly. And that just kind of segues into the Satterfield talk about how all the U of L fans were so excited over that bowl game because that's the future of U of L. And I'm like, first of all, he wasn't there. Second of all, any of the coaches in that game aren't coming to Louisville.
Yeah.
So before you get your hopes up.
Also, the players.
Yeah.
They're not coming to Louisville.
So, but before we get too far into wrapping up the women's basketball from yesterday, we do have a text from the text line. Jeff from Louisville.
Oh.
Frequent texter.
Hi,
to the
Jeff.
Show. Big supporter of BB and Chalk Talk. Thank you, Jeff. What are the rules offering a kid a scholarship to play football then a new coach pulls a scholarship offer? Morally, ethically, and the school offers a scholarship, not the coach, and what are our thoughts? I understand it. It's a business, and that's what people need to understand, that it is a business. And, yes, it is a school that offers, but you're mostly, as a kid, you're not picking the school because it's Louisville. You're picking it because of the program, because of the style offense that Petrino ran or the style defense that Uncle Rico runs and stuff like that. So that's what you pick, and they're no longer there. So, really, flip side, as a kid, I mean, I think – if these kids started bailing, look at how whenever all these kids started decommitting, whenever they could see the end was near, mm-hmm. and everybody's like, oh, now he's going to bail on us. Well, he saw the writing on the wall. And if you're one of those kids sitting around whenever he left thinking your commitment was still good, you need some better advisors, because you got to understand that that's not the same program that you just committed to.
because I was kind of split with this because, like the Louisville coach, the Louisville high school coaches blew it completely out of proportion. They're acting like this is one unique thing. Everyone forgets Charlie Strong did the exact same thing, literally the exact same thing, and it's not fair to say that Satterfield is the only one that does it because every coaching staff does this. Every coaching staff does this.
Now, one thing I will agree with, I think he should have been the one getting on the phone to call these kids and talk to them and tell them,
now,
not
yeah.
sending some new assistant, the tight ends coach or whoever that was hoping to stay on from the other staff and said, "Oh yeah, I'll bite the bullet and take that for you." Right. If you're gonna take yeah. it away, if you're gonna offer, you're gonna be the one to take it away as well.
Yeah.
I think it should have been done.
I do agree with that, but I disagree to the point where I truly do believe, because that is, of all the turmoil that happened with Petrino and having all the decommitments, and this recruit was willing to stay around. And at that point, his recruiting is pretty much locked up. Now, I know that some coaches continue still and talk, but he's cutting – you still have the signing in February, but he cut their scholarship when the signing's on Wednesday.
Right.
And he's already shut everything down, you know, case closed, hashtag respect my decision, hashtag no interviews, emoji and all that.
What should have been done right away is, I think the kids that stuck around because of Vince calling them when Vince was taking over the football program and getting way too much involved as an AD in the football program, mm-hmm. kind of made it seem like those offers were going to be good.
Yeah.
Like everything was there. He should have been on the phone with the recruits saying, hey, you know, we still like you as an athlete, but it's going to be up to the coach that we select mm-hmm. whenever he gets in if you fit into his style and what he wants. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, you know, he should have made it clear to them what might happen.
Overall, I think just overall you've gotten to a point within college football especially, that it's gotten just really nasty to where we've gotten to a point now where we bash players that decide to sit out the bowl game. There's no sort of bashing of a coach that leaves early. So, like, why didn't Satterfield – if an App State player were to sit out of the bowl game saying, you know, I'm looking out for my business and my future, it's called not a team player. He's called selfish. But Satterfield sits out of the App State bowl game to go at Louisville, and it's a business decision. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much double standard now where we keep harping on these kids. And, again, my stance on Matt, you and I disagree on this, but where players should be paid or not, I don't agree they should be paid. But if you're going to keep going this line of – It's school. It's your student athlete. This isn't a business for you. If you're going to do that, then you can't have a double-edged sword and all these double standards for these student athletes. And that's the part that gets infuriating for me, where you're a student athlete. Okay, if they're a student athlete, and this is an 17, 18-year-old kid that doesn't know this world, he's got an idea of what this world is, but he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not engulfed into the business and the dark side of college football.
Yep.
If he doesn't know that, the university needs to honor the decision of, if he committed to it, then in my opinion, they shouldn't be allowed to pull it, because this kid doesn't know. These are the same kids that don't know what they want for dinner.
Yeah.
Like, they'll say Wendy's next, then Taco Bell. Then we say they need to be professional to know their – and it does sound good.
Taco Bell.
Caramel apple empanadas. Mm.
But we're expecting them to be professional enough to – commitment and stick to your word. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just saw people just crucify Wandell Robinson, both from Nebraska side and from UK side, because he's a 17-year-old kid that can't make up his mind. Mm-hmm. Like every single 17-year-old kid. So to me, you want to treat them like adults. You say they need to act like adults, but yet we treat them like kids. Mm-hmm. But then we pull stuff away and say, well, that's just the business side of it. You should have known that. Yeah. That's my thing.
Well, here's the reality of it. Just like anything in life, this is just amplified because it's sports, and that's what a lot of people care about, is college sports, especially around here. Here's the reality of it. If you're in a job where you're changing jobs and you say you're going to leave a job for another whatever company and you back out last minute, it doesn't get amplified. If you're just a normal student going to school and last minute you decide not to go to Kentucky but you
right.
decide to go somewhere else, no one cares. It's because of and this is why it works us up so much about – when everybody freaks out when things like this happen, because it is a business, it's people's choices. People are going to be people. We deal with humans. That's the nature of humans, is they're going to change their mind on things. Until things are actually signed, anything you do in life, it's not, it doesn't matter. It's not real until things are signed, and then you worry about it, and then it becomes a situation where it's a commitment or what people are saying they're going to do. Once things are signed, once it's on paper, mm-hmm. that's all that matters. And that's why it should be a two-way street, especially in college football. Should be a two-way street, but in reality, the school side, if they back out on their word, they get hit a lot harder and get, you know, the negative comments than, you know, an athlete that would back out of their word. Yes, they get it immediately, but in the end, it doesn't matter. But schools get remembered for that if they start pulling scholarships like that, and it's just the reality of it.
And that, with everything that's been going on at U of L, they lost their soccer coach this week, who has done nothing but take that from a nothing program to one of the tops in the nation. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of question. Louisville is the baseball program next. Just because you've got in those two programs, you've got two very high caliber quality guys that it's their business and their profession means so much more how they're looked upon and what they're associated with than it does what they do on the field. And that's why Lola left, and that's the question mark around the baseball program right now. So I think it wouldn't be amplified as much if it wasn't in a program that's a constant dumpster fire.
True. That's very true.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, well.
Anyway, basketball. So,
yes.
Tweak 2.0. It worked?
You just skipped women's basketball.
We reminded him three times.
No, I'm going men's basketball. I thought you said women's basketball at the end.
I mean,
it still works either way. We're talking men's basketball. Talk men's basketball.
Right. Let me get my other notes out.
Yeah, we got to switch notes here on this.
Oh, wow. That takes so much on your iPad. So much time.
So the men's basketball game obviously went very well compared to what we have been seeing.
Well, like the first 3 minutes didn't.
No.
When you took a 10-2 run.
True, yes. The first, yeah, it looked like it was going to be the old same, you know, song and dance, but it ended up to where these guys started figuring some things out. And the best part about it, you know, after the game, Coach Cal talked about how the last three practices, all he had done was work on offense, hoping that these guys didn't forget about defense, and they started to put some things together finally to where they looked like a real contender. I know we were playing a 4-4 Utah team that's not great, but they looked better, and that's what we're wanting to see right now is just that they look better as a team.
Yeah, and I do like the way the defense has played, and I think that's something that Coach is going to be chasing all year. And he said this before in his press conferences, you know, wherever you're struggling, if you get the confidence there, the other side of the ball will follow with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we talked about we couldn't be good defensively until we were good offensively, because that would carry over to the defense side of the ball. And I think we saw that yesterday. You know, we had huge turnover difference yesterday, 18-6 turnover battle, and then we got 34 points off of those turnovers. Mm-hmm. And then the shot clock, I love the shot clock violations. That tells me you're getting after it. It's not like with the women. A lot of times with the women's side, they've got that full court pressure defense and they're getting a lot of their turnovers. Mm-hmm. But whenever you can do a half-court defense and run a shot clock out on somebody, that tells me you're getting after it.
And you know what's key to that is that we were having the violations, because both coaches talked about it in the post-game press conferences. Utah's coach talked about how he told his team early in the week of, hey, when we're getting ready for Kentucky here, we need to. It's okay to run the shot clock down, because the hopes are with a young team, and Coach Cal talked about it too, when you're playing basketball against a young team, you hope to run the shot clock down to that 6-7 second mm-hmm. time frame there, in hopes that because they're young, someone's going to break down somewhere and you're going to get an easy basket. The good thing that we saw is that they were running the shot clock down, trying to do something with it, and they were still getting violations, which will show some teams it may not be that easy against these guys, which is promising. So, yes, to your point, it was nice to see those violations. And then after the game, both coaches talked about that was some strategy we knew coming in. And Kentucky's going to probably see a lot of that from some of these SEC teams that are going to be a little bit better athletically than Utah is, and maybe
I
able to take some difference.
The clips of Tennessee.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
They look scary good.
Yeah, they do.
But the one strategy that didn't work out for Utah is whenever they kind of left us open at 3-point line.
Yeah, that wasn't a great strategy.
Yeah, Coach even said they, you know, we went in banking that they weren't going to make any of their shots. They haven't shot very well this year from the 3-point range, so they kind of left that open and gave a lot of open looks, especially to Keldon Johnson, who was 5-of-5 during that run where we came back and took the lead for good there in that about midway through.
Yep.
And that's the first time they've had 5-3 since Wayne Gabriel versus Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing that I noticed as well, because UK defensively was rated number one when it came to rebounds. Mm-hmm. And this was a game that they were out-rebounded by against a team that's not as physically competent as UK is. And a lot of people were saying that's a huge red flag, that we focus so much on offense that we're now neglecting defensively. I think it was just overall just a bad rebounding game for them. Well, I mean, when you're still throughout the whole season still rated number one when it comes to rebounding, you should still be fine.
Well, the classic Cal tweak is to spread the floor.
Right.
And so when you start to do that, you start to pull yourself away from the rim a little bit. So I think it's just going to take a matter of time to them getting used to spreading the floor and learning how to get back down low on a shot.
And what we hope we see, what we started to see in this game, and what Coach Cal alluded to again after the game, and you know, I had asked a couple of the players about this too, that between Tyler and Emmanuel, about these guys are starting to figure out where they fit in this team and where what their roles are within this team. Because you got a guy like, you know, Ashton Hagans. If you had asked me without seeing the stat line yesterday, I would have said, yeah, he had a great game. But then you look at his stat line, and he only has 2 points. And you're like, oh, he didn't have a great game, but look at what else he did. He was just a floor general for these guys. He had 7 assists. He was seeing the floor and getting the ball to the right people at the right time. So that was good to see. And then you see Keldon starting to become a little more free. Tyler was finally hitting some shots yesterday, hit that one right before half. You're starting to kind of see these guys fall into place a little bit. When they were going into Reed, he was just dominating down low in this game. So hopefully we continue to see this and see some definition between these kids so that they know how they're going to be playing and where they're going to go at certain times.
How great was it to have Baker back?
Yeah, it was nice. Like, it was unfortunate because with the media, we always try to get down there so that you can get good seats with the press conference. So we were watching it on the TV and it's delayed. So we were hearing the crowd go nuts and everybody's like, oh, that was either Johnny or Jamal. Who was it that made it? Because we knew they were both in.
Right.
And then he went with back-to-back threes there, which is awesome. Because Coach Cal said, when he's in, I told him I want him to shoot. And he did.
Well, no, what everybody, too, and I like that Cal explained it in his press conference afterwards, everybody's like, so he's healthy, why isn't he out there? Why didn't he get more minutes? You know, especially now that we lost Quade. But like Coach said, he's been in the program a year and a half, 2 years now. He's maybe practiced a total of 2 weeks because of his injuries and having to sit out and everything. So he's still developing and coming along. Give him time, but we're starting to see little glimpses, little flashes of what's going to happen when he gets out there.
And he also said, I just flat out forgot.
That was great.
He said, I was trying to so many different rotations and trying to see guys together. He's like, I forgot he was available and that he was down there, to be honest. So,
if you have any questions for us that you'd like us to answer or dive into, hit us up on the text line, the 590 text line at 859-253-5959, or on Twitter, just tag us at BB and Chalk Talk.
So, overall, and you've got UNC coming up, and you're now getting into a part of the schedule that's daunting. But the way that UK has been playing, at least for this game, it's giving you a little bit of hope and hopefully get you to a point where you can really do some damage on this this stretch of the schedule. But, Lyle, what about women's basketball with MTSU? Both of you all just got to spend the whole day.
We didn't get to watch any of the bowl games yesterday or the NFL games really until the night one. We were kind of keeping up with them. But, we pulled the doubleheader, and we got there at 12 to Memorial and left Rupp at, 8 o'clock, 8:30, something like that. So we were all basketball all day.
All basketball all day. But, it was a great time. And like you said, the men are going to hit the road. The good thing about the North Carolina game, the way it's scheduled, is – they don't have any games this week. They're done with finals now. They've got plenty of time to kind of regroup.
Camp Cal.
Focus in and things like that. So going up against probably outside of Duke, the second most toughest game on the schedule, this first part of the schedule. Girls were in action yesterday. They took on Middle Tennessee State, another Division I foe. And I was really shocked, and I had to go back and look at this afterwards, because the Middle Tennessee coach gave us props in his press conference. Not for the play, but for playing him.
Yeah.
Because he said no other team in the SEC will play them because of, you know, they're that mid-major that'll sneak up and bite you, and you don't want to have that on your record. But UK went out there and handled business like they normally do. Starting combination of Taylor Murray, Macy Morris, Ryan Howard, Kiki McKinney, and Tatiana Wyatt, they're 9-1 this year when you start that group. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Just stick with that combo to start the game.
Let's just
keep doing that.
Go ahead and you can use a Sharpie on the dry erase board and just go ahead and put that in. But then I love the bench play that we're getting from Blair Green, and she came off. She's been really cold. She came out really, really hot. Hit 3 of 3 from 3-point range. And you got Jada Roper, who just brings a whole nother level of energy out there to the defense
She's
side
everywhere.
Of the ball. And then you got Amanda Pascal, too, who comes out and gives you solid minutes on both sides. But the girls looked good yesterday. Came out, and Ryan Howard didn't have her normal Ryan Howard game. She was held under double-digit points for the first time in her career of 11 games. But it's the first time. But so not to say she's in a slump. She had 8. She's one shot away. But it was nice to see Blair Green and then Kiki McKinney coming in and getting 13 points, which is a career high for her. And she also had 5 blocks, which kind of snuck in there because the way that defense moves, it's so fast-paced.
Yep.
On both ends of the court, really, because they start from the inbound getting after it. But it was a great game. I thought the girls played with a lot of injury. They had a little lull there in that second half to start.
The third quarter. It was a bad third quarter. But the two things that I really took away from this were, number one, you just mentioned it, with Ryan Howard not being a 20-point-plus person, that there were 4 other ladies that were in double digits. Between Macy Morris with 14, Taylor Murray had 12. We already talked about Kiki with her career-high 13, and then Blair Green had 11. Which was awesome to see that kind of offensive share, just where there were multiple people that were scoring. They looked good shooting. And then the second thing is the turnover battle really wasn't that much of a difference. There was only Middle Tennessee only had 18, Kentucky had 16. That's not the difference that we're used to seeing, but the fact that they didn't have to rely on that is really encouraging to see, too, that they're figuring out other ways to be able to attack and win games big.
Well, when you shoot 71% in the first
half. Yeah, that helps. It does help. Yeah. Yes.
That helps out a little bit.
Correct.
But the girls will have 2 games this week. They will face the Western Carolina Catamounts.
Yeah.
Catamounts.
What's that?
It's a catamount.
Yeah. What's a catamount?
I think it's like
it's a
caterpillar.
Cat up on a mount. It's a catamount.
Or it's a mountain caterpillar.
A mountain caterpillar? Yep. Hey, there we go. I like that
catamount.
One, too.
Now, is it a mountain caterpillar like the bulldozer caterpillar?
No, different.
Nope. It's like the animal. The insect.
Insect.
The
yeah. Is it, insect's still an animal.
But regardless, Western Carolina is 2-8. Not a great team.
Not a great team. They have some size. They've got 5 girls that are over 6 foot tall. And they're led by their freshman, Gabby Smith, who in the last 5 games has led them in points in 3 and led them in rebounds in 4 of the last 5. So it's going to be interesting to see. There's nothing really, really flashy. I just hope we don't play. Hey, catamount.
Oh, you found it.
Yes.
What is it?
It is a medium-sized or large wildcat, especially a cougar.
Then why not call yourselves the Cougars?
We'll see who the bigger wildcat is on Tuesday. Do you like how I said that?
Catamount.
Oh, is that the pronunciation?
Catamount.
Okay.
What is it?
Catamount.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
I don't think we had trouble saying it. I think we were trying to figure out what it was.
I just find it funny that the computer says it.
Let's see what it
makes me happy.
That makes you happy when there was literally a robot arm serving beer at an NFL game yesterday for the first time ever, and that's what makes you happy?
No, I talked about how I found that fantastic also. It saves the Broncos money.
Timeout.
Uh-oh.
Urban Dictionary.
Oh, gosh, no.
Oh, no. Please do not read this.
Oh, gosh.
A catamount is a ferocious feline, a mix between a mountain lion and a bobcat. It is predominant in the mountains of western North Carolina, particularly Cooley, which is where the university is located.
Okay.
Max, it's all coming together now.
I got to play this for you.
All right, David's going to play some for me.
This
what do you got?
Johnny Cash from the
60s. Oh,
no. 'Cause the players gonna
play. You broke the rules, David. You broke the rules. Shake it off. You're out of line, David. You are out of line. That's a breach of contract.
Oh, my.
And for a catamount, its prey of choice happens to be the mountaineer.
Can we talk about food?
I'm done talking about catamounts.
Yeah. We spent way more time on Western
You need
Carolina.
To stop, David, and stop talking about catamounts, Lyle.
I'm just trying
that
to
is thing
calm
I did this
the
week.
Rant down.
I'll go ahead and start it off.
You go.
So we made stuff for our frontline team with work, and Ashley and my mother always help me. By help me, they do all of it. and yes. I just stand there and I just partake.
You taste
and,
test.
Yes, taste yes, test. A lot of taste testing.
Right.
And it was cookies, gingerbread men, like giant gingerbread men, and apple butter, and chocolate covered popcorn, white chocolate covered popcorn. Man. And it's not an exaggeration. I believe I ate, not figuratively, but literally a gallon of sugar in the past 2 days. Not even the past 2 days, 24 hours. Willing to guarantee past 24 hours, a literal gallon of sugar. Enough where Ashley just stopped. She saw me in the kitchen before I left for the show. And I was just in a trance of eating this chocolate-covered popcorn.
Just couldn't stop.
I just could, I wasn't even thinking about it. And yeah. She just goes, Max. And I did one of those, like, I was stuck in a trance, like, what? And she goes, you've really developed a sweet tooth. Not like a funny, like, I'm concerned for your health kind of thing.
Yeah.
So my guess is all the sugar is going to be hidden somewhere in the house when I get back.
I would hope so. For your own safety.
Don't judge my life, man.
I will. I'll judge it all day long. I think, really, yesterday probably could have been just with.
Yesterday's going to be mine.
Okay, and I'll let you have it because I actually had something that happened at the end during the interviews of the men's game. Believe it or not, you didn't even see it happen. I almost missed getting my phone on to interview Tyler Hero when he came out because I was trying to text in my Mexican order to Becky so that she could order the food so that it could be timed out perfectly when I left. I could go pick it up and it'd be ready and then go home. And I was sitting there lit the menu up on my phone and Tyler's coming out. I'm like, oh crap, what do I want? And I'm like texting it and trying to get on this. And I was so flustered and I almost missed getting some interviews that we could post because of that. So
I just want to be in the conference room when this happens, when the bigwigs here at 590 WVOK and 97.3 where Lexington comes to talk, sits down with you and says, why did you miss these interviews? Like something big was just announced and we don't have it. And he goes, I had to get my Mexican order in.
But good news, the Mexican was so good. It was delicious.
We had a lot of barbecue yesterday.
Mm. We did.
I saw the beef nachos, the brisket nachos.
Yes, and Matt learned yesterday to get them either early or later because you don't want the arena to go dark with introductions while you're still trying
to
eat your nachos.
You look so pissed in that picture.
I couldn't see my nachos.
Oh, my gosh.
I just wanted to eat.
Oh, the lights went on like, this is so cool. He goes, I can't see my nachos. I'm like, oh, well, there's that.
Yeah.
But yesterday, I had some McDonald's on the way in.
Yep.
Breakfast.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
For the road in.
Yeah.
Then got to Memorial, and they had pulled pork sandwiches.
Yeah.
With some kettle chips.
Mm-hmm.
Snacked on that. Rice Krispie treats.
Rice Krispie treats.
They had those too. Right, now you're getting, okay.
Yep. So we had that. Then we got over to Rupp, and of course it was the barbecue spot.
Yeah. Yeah. More chips and more barbecue.
More chips. So. Yeah. Where Smitty went with the nachos, I go with the tacos with a side of the chips, and I eat my tacos over the chips because the stuff that falls off gives me a little mini nachos at the end.
Veteran.
Wow.
Veteran move.
Wow.
And then on the way home, because I didn't have a wife to text in my food order to, I hit Taco Bell up on the way out.
Okay, yeah.
Love it.
It was getting close to the fattest thing you did this week. That tipped it over at that point. I think of eating over the nachos, like that was.
That's not fat, that's just genius.
That's genius.
Yeah.
Because it fits in our budget that we get from UK.
Yeah.
And then so you take the kettle chips, you put some of the spicy barbecue
and
sauce
you
on top of that.
You put jalapenos and barbecue sauce on the chips first.
Yeah, and then let the stuff fall off on top. So you got the pico de gallo, the corn relish, the extra meat, stuff fall off on top. Then you have a mini nachos whenever you're done.
And I'm over there in the dark trying to find my nachos so I can eat them.
I waited till midway through the first.
So you show more self-control than Matt does.
He's just smarter.
Yeah.
Wasn't self-control. He just knows what he's doing.
And then I have to admit, talking about the post-game interviews, I got downstairs, went over to get a Coke, and noticed that the cookie tray was empty.
Yep.
And I was kind of disappointed.
Yes.
But then after we were done with the interview, starting to put them up, somebody put out a whole fresh tray of those chocolate chip cookies.
Those cookies are so good. They're so good.
Yeah. I killed about four of those on the way out to the Jeep.
Yeah. I did too, knowing that I was going to pick up Mexican food. From there, I still scarfed down some cookies on the way out.
I ate some gingerbread men as well, and the look on their face, Like
the gingerbread man?
Huh?
The gingerbread man's face? Oh.
Because they're fixed. Like, it's a fixated smile. Like, they have no choice but to smile because that's what the creator designed them to do.
Yeah.
But then there they are with no legs and just crumbs all over the place with icing all over the place. And it's just a horrifying thing when it's been brought up to you that that's what you're doing to them.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't feel bad about it anymore because then I remember these are really chewy and they taste really good.
That's where you get the little cart and the cup in front of them.
What are you talking about, David?
That sounds like an emotional roller coaster that you go through while eating gingerbread men.
The emotional roller coaster I went through was in Charlotte when I had goat presented to me, beef tongue presented to me,
lingua.
Beef intestines, and then fried fish, which I thought would be normal, but then they throw it on the plate. And it was literally a gutted fish that was just dipped in the fryer. So eyeballs, the look of shock after being gutted and fried was still on the fish's face when it was presented to me. Yeah, it looked exactly like that, David. So now that was a horrifying experience.
Yeah, I'd say you're right on that. Yeah.
But you know what, though? The goat, the fish, and the beef tongue were actually really good. The beef intestine is something completely different, and I would not recommend it for anyone.
Couldn't be down with that. Nope.
You couldn't fry it and throw enough ranch, hot sauce, or ketchup on it, or cheese on it. It will not be presentable.
Yeah. I don't know.
For Matt Smith and Greg Lyle, my name is Max Gabby. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling on 590 WBLK and 97.3 FM, where Lexington comes to talk.